So our next talk is by Cosnero. I hope I pronounce it correctly. Yeah, Cosnero. Okay. So Cosnero will tell us how to democratize tech, starting with AI, which is, in his view, African intelligence. And I think he will tell us why he calls it African intelligence and what he plans for changing our technology. So, applause to Cosnero, please.
Yeah, hello. So I call it, I mean, there are different terms you can use for AI, but I think artificial intelligence is really the wrong term. And African intelligence makes sense because it targets one of the most exploited groups in the process of creating what we call AI. Or what not we call AI, but what is called AI. All right. So yeah, the talk is about how to democratize tech starting with AI. I will start to go into problems of AI and give a little... Ah, thanks. That makes it easier. And give... Does it... no, it works. Yeah, I will start talking about the problems that probably every one of you already knows something about, and but just to have another overview, and then I will go further to make an analysis from my point of view. What fuels these problems, and then I will present a solution that we are working on since some years. Okay, so let's start with the consumption. So LLMs, here I'm focusing on LLMs, but in the end, it's neural networks that all have these problems a bit in common, but LLMs are a bit worse, maybe. I will focus on LLMs here, which is a part of it. And obviously they consume very, very big amounts of physical resources that are our resources, like the world's people's resources too. And for instance, electricity, water, rare earth that also computers consume, but in this case it gets on another level. And social welfare is also consumed. I will give an example that is close and actual, so because it's happening in Germany. And it gives a number. There are other examples where thousands of people in the United States got their electricity actually cut off in their houses because of big data centers. But to have a number about it, so they are planning and building a big data center in near Frankfurt am Main, which consumes electricity of 500,000 households, which is a lot for asking it, yeah, whatever. Okay. And then there is another one. Another article that I'm collecting a lot of articles on a lot of different problems of LLMs and AI in general every day, and I just took some to have like some numbers to grasp it a bit, because I have the feeling that a lot of people are not grasping it very well, what is actually happening. And there is Thomas Fricke, who had also a very nice presentation that is on Media CCC about data center and AI consumption that I can recommend. So if you search for Thomas Fricke, for me it was also a bit eye-opening, let's say. And let's go further. So now I'm going a bit on the social welfare consumption. So this works in different layers. In the global south, people are labeling and filtering heavier stuff, like hate or violence in the texts, and they have also a lot of psychic problems that get out of that to have this product in the end running everywhere, like Gemini or so. Then in the north, workers are exploited for giving it their cognition. For instance, I saw a documentation, an Italian documentation about Italian about Italian people that finished their studies in humanities and wanted to become a translator, but translators don't have so many jobs now, and so they work really a lot and very machine-like work that they do not like for getting like 800 euro per month out of it in Europe. It's called click workers, I think. And then, we should not forget the workers in the rare earth mines, because as we have, probably you know a bit about this, in Brazil there's like gold polluting a lot of water and gold mining, but also other, like cobalt is very worth a look. What is happening there. And then there are the workers in the hardware factories. That is the case for computers as well, but here we are talking about a massive, much more computers, kind of. And here's a nice resource of data for mods, where they have created an interactive map that now here is not interactive, but it looks kind of like this. And it shows pretty big money flows going around and fueling exploitation. And here we are talking mainly about the worst part of it, like filtering the violence out of it, for instance. So going through a lot of violent text and filtering this out. Here's an article from the Blue community, which is also on Mastodon. And it is talking about the UN that did a research that most of the communities where minerals are mined end up with polluted water, because often for rare earth you need chemicals to extract little amounts out of a lot of land. Which probably is nothing new, but I wanted to put it all together to then go to an analysis. Now I'm going on these big amounts of users that are using it, and I'm entering into the analysis, what is going wrong here. So we have at the moment, regarding Claude and ChatGPT and Gemini, and maybe Perplexity, These are connected to very big companies where a lot of users are on one property, kind of, on one server. And this means that targeted advertisement is more profitable and gets done in a much more professional way. And this leads to more consumption as well. So then these are targeting attention. So here I'm talking about the social welfare consumption. As they are mainly focused on targeting attention, it raises the possibility of falling into so-called AI psychosis, like people falling in love with their LLMs. And to give an example, and also unneeded queries are generated through the system, from my point of view, through this centralized approach that a big part of society is running at the moment. And the big multinational profit-oriented companies that we have created through our usage of computers are more and more influencing the democracies for their short-term profit, which is also, I would put that into the category of social welfare consumption. But I think it's docking to a lot of other consumption points. Okay. Big LLMs are inefficient in an abstract way. So big profit-oriented multinationals in general, like without LLMs, they tend to externalize costs, from what I have seen through a lot of articles about different countries, what is happening around big profit-oriented multinationals. They tend to make war, because war is also short-term profit, and they run LLMs with less and less tech-savvy people, which means that there is less resources in society to actually think about how they should be built or how problems should be solved around this. Okay. So here's an Paywalled article that I found really that is from last year, but for me it was the first time where a lot of info was put together about the ties of these big tech, AI, and the military. And I will cite it here now because I made it to get this info. But OpenAI won its first Pentagon contract. Google Cloud is collaborating with Lockheed Martin on generative AI. Meta changed its policies so that military can use Llama. Big tech stalwarts Amazon and Microsoft are all in. And Anthropic has partnered with Palantir to get Claude to the US military. Okay, so it's like about all of them. And the article talks also a bit more in detail about these things. But there are a lot of other articles, and it didn't get better. I can spoiler you with this one. Yeah. And so other problems of profit-oriented multinationals are that they sell themselves and their data to whoever has money, not to who is intelligent or to who is social, or to who is, but to whoever has money. And they are easily hackable by also undemocratic parts of governments, because being hierarchical in the end means that you have to only hack one person. And maybe you remember all the big tech chefs sitting with Trump at one table and telling each other how much money they are spending. Yeah. Okay, then another problem is where they are inefficient. I don't want to say that anything is evil here, because I also recommend to read some literature about amoralist philosophies. It's, from my point of view, worth a read, especially in these times. Even if Google always said don't be evil, and now it's not saying it anymore. But I wouldn't say that they are evil. It's more, for me, it's more an inefficiency that is also pretty existential already for a lot of people. And it's turning a bit against the consumers now too. And maybe more as well, if you see where how things are, were evolving the last year, for instance. Yeah, so they are inefficient because when they get hacked and there is no 100% secure software, from my point of view, then directly a lot of people are affected. And also they tend to be exploited by individuals that get super rich. So when you have a very big profit-oriented company, then it attracts this type of people that want to get a lot of money out of it. Okay. So now we come to the fusion of them two. Big profit-oriented multinationals running LLMs. So they have the inefficiency, from my point of view, that they replace the workers, which kind of is a good thing, because maybe we want to do a work that makes sense and not the work that the machine can do. But while they are doing it, they tend to redistribute the profit from down to up, as far as I have seen it. Also because it's much easier to convince a hierarchical system to make this change than convincing all the workers to do it in a way that makes sense for them. Then they are already all tied to military and autonomous warfare. I told this, but I will go onto this in the next slides. And they change the information of the LLM's responses based on profit. To give an example, the Israeli government has kind of given, not directly, but kind of given millions into changing the data of OpenAI. And also a big point is, as they are ruled by the short-term profit idea, they tend to use AI where it should not be used. So where it's not even automating, but it's actually also ruining the organism where it gets implemented on long term. Okay. And yeah, how AI should not be used. Here's an article of The Decoder. A scientific study warns about brain fry through how it is used at work. This about the autonomous warfare. There's an extensive list of really bad stuff happening around this, but there's an example that is not so far away, where a school in Iran was bombed. And it was hundreds of children, girls mainly, that were killed in autonomy. So pretty possibly, probably also not supervised by a human, because a human would not have killed so many children, probably. And this bombing yeah, it was done by algorithms. They also said it was not supervised by humans. Palantir was behind that bombing, using algorithms of Google running on Amazon Web Services. So a lot of money coming in. And Palantir's main cooperation partner is Anthropic. I want to point that out as well, because a lot of people still tell me that Claude is like, I mean, they call themselves Anthropic. Yeah. And here's an article of The Guardian where these infos that I just stated are published. And for instance, the point that it was a Google algorithm is from this article. And if LLMs, I think LLMs can be used in a useful way, but it's very difficult. For instance, I use it instead of DeepL, and it produces better translations offline for me. And I don't like DeepL that much. In the beginning, yes, but nowadays not that much. And to give an idea about that, if you train an LLM on millions of data points of clowns, of clown conversations, it will not only answer like a clown, but it will answer like a statistical mean of a clown. So this also, I don't know, I found it funny. And if big LLMs destroy education by channeling the money needed for it into warfare, which happened in Germany now, that 100 billion would be milliarden. 100 billion were taken away from social and from education to put it into war. And if these big LLMs do that, then they destroy their actual databases, which is not very efficient. Okay. So how AI should not be used, there's an article of Psychology Today that adults lose skills to AI and children never build them. To just show that there are a lot other dimensions how these profit-oriented LLMs are affecting education and the general ability of a population to solve problems. Okay, and now comes the solution, or at least I would like to get this more a solution with your ideas, I hope. So the idea is, If you look at ChatGPT, I got 1 year ago or something the number 800 million users that are using that. And if you would instead have 1.6 million small businesses having up to 500 users each, I think this system would look completely different. Of course, it sounds like a utopia, but it has a direct positive outcomes. So how do we do that? We try to formalize this user limit based on economic contracts that redistribute the users. So and we try to talk to users and not to corporations. And just staying 1 second with the utopia, 1.6 million small companies that make enough money to learn all their time about how to solve problems of AI, how to make them less resource hungry, this would, from my point of view, change the whole picture. But of course, it's an utopia. Okay. And yeah, an example to get, that we had in our association, that the people would have super long chats, and they do not really know that, or maybe you also don't know that if you have a very, very long chat and then you ask another question, the token amount is very big, and compared to restarting your chats, this makes the difference of a 2,000 euro GPU towards a 20,000 euro GPU with much more transistors, much more rare earth, the need of venture capitalists being involved, the need of selling data, etc., etc. And science also says that the quality degrades with a higher token context. So tokens are like words, by the way, bit less words than tokens, because like a symbol would be also kind of a token, I think. Yeah. Okay, but I don't have the article because I didn't find it in these thousands of articles that I have collected till now. Yeah. Okay. So how is this achieved? We are still thinking about how we can actually enforce the user limit so it doesn't get another OpenAI who says we are super open, etc., and then it becomes a big platform. So in this case, every user signs a contract, and I mean, there's this license, and when you use the service, the license is automatically enforced, theoretically, but it would need money to go in front of the court, etc., or controlling it, so that doesn't really... But in the end, we want to make a formalized association as well, which will be a base of this. But the idea is that this association controls the money flow by the system at the moment that we want to do, or that we will do after this talk, actually, because we are already enough people that want to contribute to the costs of this project and that are using this service instead of big tech AI. And they elect a person that has an AND account, bank account, with a logical AND, and this account pays the instance. And this account holder firms the contract that the AND account has the is there to enforce the user limit in the end. Also, yeah. And also the association advocates to pay small money instead of paying unconsciously with the data. We are on about $100 per year with the data that can be generated in very abstract ways that one cannot really grasp, I think. Yeah. And yeah, it's happening. It's we are 60 people that have pseudonymized access, and we are now 21 people that saw this old information. But we are now 21 people that want to contribute monetary and want to that have said that they want to make this election and so on, and that are interested in it. But we are still very small. And it would be cool to have it on a point where I can dedicate all my time into it, how I did it the last year without a VC. Yeah. And if you're interested, so all this information is open source, running offline, and it would be very good if other instances start this, and the only obligation is to work on an enforcement of a user limit and of a redistribution of users. And there are three people that want to do that, of which two have already bought the consumer hardware, of which one has already the neural networks running, but not in a way that it can serve hundreds like I have built it up. But the information, it needs time too. But it's all open source, and most of my users have already seen the whole infrastructure, because I like to show it when I trust the people. And and I look into a brighter future in this sense, because there is already the Fediverse, and there are millions of people using the Fediverse, but also there you have bigger players and a lot of small players, and the small players, they don't get the autonomy to focus completely on it, whereas the big players, they have a lot of money, but we're also strange in communication sometimes, for instance. So I would really love to have my services that I pay small money monthly for, and I'm very happy about that, because I know that they have a certain amount of money. I know sometimes even the admins, I know how many people are there, how much money they have, and that they don't need to sell my data. And the service is also put forward and secured, etc. But I would love if they would have this user distribution formalization, which should work, because the elected co-owner can block everything, right? Every action. And if I choose a person that the instance doesn't know that is connected to me, and this person just asks that this person would like to pay monthly to this instance, and it is a different bank account than the one that was formalized. For me, it's already provable if they are sticking to it or not, right? Okay, and that's already it, because it's also late. And I thank you all very much for listening. And here are all the sources that I have chosen from a lot. And on Mastodon, I have also on mastodon.social, actually, I have OffGPT as an account where there's a very long list of resources of problems of AI, and thank you very much. are there questions? That's the I had that on the last, but it disappeared. I'm sorry, but I say it now. Yeah. Are there questions or like ideas or?
I do have one. First, thank you for your inspiring talk and some inspiring idea. But how far? I would assume you first scale like one or set up one company like you're doing right now, and documenting the whole process so people can copy this idea.
It's in the contractually formalized version, or
no?
The actual software, you say?
No, I mean the kind of the full idea. There's, for example, a drink in our community, Premium Cola. It's open source. It's a company run by the people. They decide how much they should pay. And it's like a stack you can use and just copy. So you don't have to scale everything. You have single organizations you can do with, as you say, maybe run with 20 people, maybe run with 100 people, but specify everything so other people, if they are convinced, can just copy or slightly alter the idea and adapt it and set it up on their own at their local community.
Yes, I had this discussion with one friend that is like red team guy and very convinced of open source. I tried to, I worked very, very long on it, and then there come out very few associations, and I tried to make it manageable in a very easy way, but I don't want to give this information to the organisms that are going against me, which is also why I didn't continue my master in math in Berlin. Because surveillance companies are taking all that info and putting it against us, like Azure, Linux, etc. So, if I, of course, I cannot stop this from happening, but I have limited time, and there are already people that want to build it, and it takes time because it's not done with one. Schema. It's like we need mutation in the system. We need certain standards of security from my point of view. And I mean, it's about privacy here. So just thinking a few users help, that helps, but it's not, yeah. So, yeah, but of course it's documented. And not only that, I have a very, very big machine help, it's called, on my Arch Linux, where I store all my steps in very small text files and with a lot of tags. So I search through it with grep minus LR. I can recommend. It's it didn't change since 30 years and works.
That's true. I think we have to wrap up, and because the next speaker will appear soon, and the next talk will start, which is in German, it will not be televised like the revolution, and yeah, it's about a story about Germany and Europe and our democracies. So a big applause to Corsnero. You are around here. Still?
I'm around here.
Yeah, sorry, I killed your applause. We do it again.